is the Jerry DePoto Show, presented by GEICO, every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Looking forward to it every week.
The latest transactions, the breakdown on the Mariners' latest moves, the reason behind the decisions that shape the organization.
I love the time together. It gives me a chance to hold myself accountable.
Now, here's Danny, Dave, and Moore.
It's exciting to get a chance to talk to Jerry DePoto here on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. And Jerry, we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
The virtue, I guess, by virtue of a morning game in the Midwest, we find ourselves available in the afternoon. But rough one today, but I think we've been playing better of late. So excited and hopeful.
Yeah, and headed to Oakland. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since the draft. And I think the first reaction that everybody had was to look at the number of arms you guys selected, especially early. Was that a deliberate plan on your part to focus pitchers, or was that the players that tended to be available for you when it was your turn to pick?
It was a little of both of those. You know, we went into the draft, and our philosophy is always inside of the top 100 picks, you know, we're looking for the biggest upside play that we can find while trying to marry it with some measure of I guess, risk balance or balancing the risk. And in this case, we did have our eye on a couple of upside high school hitters and George Kirby. And we did consider one other player who wound up going just a few selections after we went in the first round. But very early on in the process, we narrowed it down to about four names. And ultimately, when we got down to it, we felt like the best selection for us was George Kirby. He gives us some, I guess, as much as you can in a baseball draft, some version of a high floor, in addition to what we think is a pretty considerable ceiling for a guy who is 6'4", does have a good pitcher's build, for average now to plus major league pitches walking in the door, up to 97 with his fastball, and we thought was the best control command guy in the draft. Sometimes it gets lost in the wash when you're talking about George Kirby. His control is so good that you forget he's throwing 95 miles an hour. And, you know, this is a power arm, and we thought among the top two, three college pitchers in this draft. Once we got past the first round, we were committed to the idea of when all things are equal, we're going to take the arm, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to watch us play and realize that's our area of biggest need. You don't want to draft for need, but when we come down to it, and we had a 50-50 selection, so we were caught on a fence between a pitcher and a position player, we went with the pitcher, feeling like it had to be an advantage hitter in terms of our evaluation of the player's upside role to make that a consideration.
Jerry, it's amazing, the draft. You know, the NFL draft, you got 120 some odd, you know, Division I teams, and then there's some Division II. You guys are going to different continents. You're getting kids out of high school. I mean, that is a tremendous amount of intel that you guys have at the end of that. I would imagine, I don't know, your workload must drop off a little bit after the draft anyway.
Yeah, our scouts and our scouting staff and our analysts do an amazing job throughout the process. It's turned into a 365-day-a-year program, and we're running through roughly 7,000 players to get to, you know, the final, which for us, we will spend 3 weeks in the war room going through 1,000 different players. And it's a 7-to-1 or 6-to-1 ratio to narrow it down to those 1,000. And out of those 1,000 that we stack up and rank in our room, we get the privilege of picking 40 of them. So it's a painstaking process. You get your heart broken a lot on draft day because you have players that you really gear yourself toward and you're excited about, and you just don't get the chance. And every year is a little bit different. Some drafts are rich at the high school level, some at the college level, some with pitching, some with position players. Rarely all four of those things. You know, this was not a widely celebrated draft class, and we feel like we did the smart thing and we added talent to our system that has a chance to move fast and also has a chance to impact our biggest area of weakness and build some depth on the pitcher's mound, particularly with starters that have some upside.
Hey, Jerry, your son Jonah was drafted by Kansas City in the 35th round. What's that whole process like for you, and were you thinking about picking your own son at any point?
On the last one, you know, back when he was graduating high school and I was with the Angels, I asked the guys to steer clear and not pick him for the obvious reason. I didn't want him to be maligned for being picked by his dad. He had no intention of signing. He was going to go to college the whole while. And, you know, as he went off to school this time around, it was not a consideration for us. I told him that. I said, you've got 29 other teams to work with, but it won't be the Mariners. And, you know, our guys did scout him. They did see him while they were watching other players and generally kept me posted. I had a chance to see him pitch three times over the course of the spring. You know, he was very excited going into draft day. He knew he would be a day three pick. That's effectively where he was going to land in the player spectrum, so to speak. And he was so excited when he got the phone call. He was pitching at UC San Diego. He's pitching in the D2 World Series at the time that he was selected. So he didn't find out until after the game, but just pumped, really excited to be headed to the Royals and hopefully he's stationed in the West once the summer work starts. So, you know, me and his mom can go out and watch him pitch once or twice.
We're talking to Jerry DePoto here, and his son attends UCSD, University of California, San Diego, picked in the 35th round. I really appreciate what you say there about kind of the professional considerations. As a father, what was it like to know that your son got drafted? That had to be just an awesome moment for a dad.
You know, it really was. And we thought there were, you know, going in that there were four teams that were considering him. And right about the 34th round, I got a text message from Dayton Moore, you know, telling me, heads up, we're about to take your boy in the next round if he's still there. And you know, it's a cool moment. And I'm watching him pitch on TV when I get this text, and you're very proud. And you're excited for what comes next for him. And then you start thinking about all of those moments as they happen to you. It's so exciting. And I hope he ever has the chance to get to the big leagues and pitch at this level. But he's already, by signing a contract, which he did on Sunday, he's already gotten much further than most guys will. And I'm excited for his chance. And I know he'll do what he can do to go as far as he can go.
It's really cool. Congratulations to Jonah and to your family. That's really awesome, Jerry.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I asked Chris, Phil Sims one time, because he had a son that was playing, and I was like, all right, Phil, do you get more enjoyment out of watching your kid or playing? And he was like, I kind of liked playing. What about for you, Jerry? Because I know I'm watching my kids, you know, just play high school basketball and stuff is just such a thrill.
It really was a thrill for me. This was funny. Shortly after I retired as a player, Jonah was playing peewee football. It's baseball, football, basketball, whatever you're playing in the moment. His very first peewee football game, he was playing halfback. He ran around the right side and ran for a 65-yard touchdown. And mm-hmm. I happened to be on the parental volunteer chain gang at the time. And I'm on the sideline holding the down marker, and I just dropped the down marker and started running up the sideline with him. And, you know, you got your hands and you're pumping them in the air. And we went to, afterward, we had a family barbecue, and my brother, who's a psychiatrist back in suburban Kansas City. We at the family barbecue, he said, how'd it go at the football game? I said, at proudest moment of my athletic life, watching Jonah run for a touchdown, jumping up and down. And deadpan, without blinking, he said, doesn't say a whole lot about the baseball career, does it?
That's the professional advice you got from your psychiatrist brother, huh?
That's right.
Jerry, to switch gears and kind of take a broader perspective, what's the trade market in general looking like this year around baseball right now?
Yeah, you know, it is a very polar league. And now part of what we are doing as a team is – because of the way the American League in particular is stacked up. There are some dynamic teams with the right now the Rays and the Yankees, to a degree the Red Sox as the defending champs, the Houston Astros, and the team that we just played, the Minnesota Twins, right now might be better than all of them. And once you get past that layer in the American League, the gap widens considerably. And many of the teams at the top don't have a lot of pressure on them, nor do they have a lot of holes to address. So it's been a pretty quiet couple of months, but as is usually the case, and it's the same this year, the traffic has really picked up since the draft ended, and the phone is starting to ring, and we're placing some outgoing calls. I suspect, like we've believed from the very start, that we will be active between now and the deadline. And I don't think it's going to be a mass exodus, so to speak, because there just aren't that many needs around the league. But we're going to try to make efficient moves that maximize the potential return for our future. And we do plan on continuing forward with the plan we put in place. I think there are so many good things happening in our minor league system with our top-end prospects. Very few of them have struggled. Most have taken huge steps forward. And while we're not seeing great progress with the major league club, a lot of what we're doing under the hood is working, and we want to keep doing that.
Hey, Jerry, I know your most logical choice for the All-Star game is Edwin Encarnacion, but he might not even be a member of the team come the All-Star game. And so don't you think it'd be fun if Daniel Vogelbach was your representative, not only in the All-Star game, but can you imagine this guy in the Home Run Derby too?
Oh, I think it would be a blast. And, you know, nobody really embodies the personality of our team more than Vogie. And he's had an awesome first half. I think he is, you know, along with Edwin and Omar Narvaez, I think three legitimate candidates to make the All-Star team. And Vogie's the one. If I had to say, you know, our catching situation with Omar and Tom Murphy has been a really pleasant development for us. But the, you know, what Vogie has done from day one of spring training to sitting here on the 13th of June, if he has not exceeded all expectations and given everybody the reason to notice and believe that he is an above average major league corner bat in this league, he's doing it, and he does it with huge personality. I cannot believe that his career will end without him being a fan favorite, you know, really in a market outside of Seattle. You know, I think the fans have already embraced Vogie, but the fans on the national stage, if they got to see him in a home run contest, my guess it would take three swings before it would be like Rocky Five, and they'd be chanting for him all stadium wide.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we always enjoy your visit, and we really appreciate you taking the time with us this afternoon.
You got it, guys. I'll talk to you next week.